Welcome to Two Guys and a Question, where Danny Jefferson and Alan Creedy challenge conventional thinking by fielding questions for more than 1,000 subscribers, all in less than 12 minutes an episode.
Hi, I'm Alan Creedy.
I'm Danny Jefferson.
And this is Two Guys and a Question. And today, we've got a special guest, Bob Heidlicka of Global Recruiters of Batesville. No connection with either Hillenbrand or Batesville Casket Company. Just happens to coincidentally be in Batesville. Bob, say hello to our audience.
Thank you for having me this morning. I appreciate the invitation. I look forward to talking a little bit of funeral service and recruiting.
Absolutely. Great. Well, this is a follow-up interview to the stuff we've been doing recently on staffing and the staffing crisis. But Bob, just quickly, do you agree with the use of the word crisis when it comes to staffing?
I would say if you're a firm that can't find help and you've been looking for 18 months, it's certainly a crisis for you, you know, whether there's a crisis nationwide for every firm at every level, you know, maybe that's debatable. It is certainly difficult across the country for most firms to find qualified, committed candidates. And in particular areas or particular firm profiles, it is certainly a crisis for them.
Well, you know, Global Recruiters, if I'm not mistaken, I know that you specialize in funeral service. That's one of the areas that you're part of the Global Recruiters network, but you specialize in funeral service. If I'm not mistaken, you were the first one to do this in funeral service.
I think so. Our company is over 16 years old.
Right.
Steve Lang, Mark Jorgensen, a couple of other industry folks that many people in your audience would know. Steve started the business. Mark ran it for 12 years and owned it. And my wife and I bought the business after 8 years of working in Global Recruiters about a year and a half ago.
We can kind of assume you're a subject matter expert. So I'm going to start off. First of all, I sent you a copy of the Funeral Service Insider Compensation Survey that came out last week. How do you feel about those compensation numbers?
Well, it's funny, as I looked at those and I've seen different surveys over the years, sometimes the audience that responded can affect those numbers. So if you have a high response from the Northeast, for instance, you're going to have a much higher compensation level. You're going to have higher cremation levels in certain parts of the country. So again, for any particular firm, it may be very relevant. Certainly across the board, we agree. And what our experience is, what we see is very similar to what you showed in that survey.
Those numbers, Bob, can be referred like any other tangible item. That there's a number there, but it doesn't say what it includes. What are you seeing that additions to include?
Like medical benefits?
Any addition to that. But those compensation numbers aren't adding or talking about that.
Right. If we're talking about pure salary or hourly wage that rolls up to an annual salary, I think it's pretty consistent with most of us see. What are those big benefits? And I know one of the things we'll probably talk about is, you know, what's changed or what are people looking for now? It's certainly health insurance would be by far the number one thing that we would hear about. Maybe bonuses or commissions if that particular firm offers those. You know, if they're selling pre-need or markers or packages or whatever, maybe there's a commission component as well.
Okay.
Those are the kinds of things that we would see in terms of direct financials.
What percentage of people pay for dependent coverage under Medicare, medical?
In our experience, I would say 90% plus are paying for employee.
Right.
And I would say something less than 50% paying for or a portion of the dependent care. If we're talking about health insurance, for instance.
So let's move off temporarily from the money issue and benefits issue. And I want to just ask you, in your experience, give us a couple of reasons why people leave their current employer.
Great question. And it's something that almost every owner who calls us is wondering. I would say number one, and this, by the way, this goes, for the most part, this goes across professions. This is not just funeral service specific. Right. Number one, the employee feels underappreciated.
Very good. Okay.
And however they define that, and that can be different. Some say, well, you're not paying me enough. I don't feel appreciated. Well, often it's a pat on the back. It's literally a public show of, hey, Joe did a great job on this service. And letting people know publicly within the team, the people that they work with and that they respect, that this is an employee who's doing a great job.
Good.
We don't do that often enough. So employees are going somewhere where they feel that. And it's easy to feel the love during an interview cycle, both for the owner and the job seeker. So we always try to caution that. Don't fall in love too soon. And understand the employee is trying to impress you. So let's dig in a little further. So number one is that appreciation level.
Yeah.
Number two, I would say, and Alex and I talked about this, my daughter, I would combine work-life balance.
Okay.
And the schedule, including the on-call schedule that we're asking employees to work, is probably the number two reason that we hear people are looking to make a change.
You know, I want to drill down just for a second on that so that our audience has a better sense of what we're talking about, because that's a factor that really sticks in the craw of a lot of old-time funeral directors. And yet, this younger generation, that's a primary issue. So work-life balance, I don't think that you're saying a strict 40-hour schedule a week, but there is how do we compare that to what it was like 10 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, when it was 24/7?
Yeah, good question. We do not equate someone saying, I want a work-life balance that allows me to have a life outside of, you know, these four walls. That doesn't mean they won't work hard when they're there, and it doesn't mean they don't mind working overtime.
Right.
It's a little bit of maybe a little bit of flexibility in the schedule. Think of a young funeral director that you hire. Now they're starting to have a family, and they want some, maybe not less hours, but more flexibility in the hours, or the ability to do some of the things at night, at home. You know, and again, we're not talking about prep room. We're talking about posting an obituary. Couldn't you do that somewhere else if needed? Those kinds of things. And then I would say you mentioned, you know, young people especially. Young people are really, and I hear this all the time. I've got four kids, but between the ages of 21 and 28, all four are very hardworking. We meet a lot of hardworking young funeral professionals all the time. It is not a work ethic issue. It's often a lack of training, a lack of development. I talked to someone at a mortuary school yesterday who said, Bob, a lot of these owners expect them to come out with 20 years of experience in the prep room, and we're trying to give them the minimal level of proficiency. And obviously they have to be able to pass the national board exams. And I know we're getting into some other issues here, but those folks are looking for mentorship and development and a fair wage and a fair schedule. They're not demanding, you know, ridiculous things. I think one thing that I would say that I try to remind a lot of the folks that we talk to, especially owners, is these are folks, if they're talking to a recruiter, they're not going back to their family funeral home, right? Funeral home, the next generation of funeral home professionals, they don't have a resume. They don't need one. They don't call a recruiter to help them. And as an owner, we can't find funeral director kids to come and work for you because they knew what they were doing when they were 14. Mm-hmm. By definition, we're going to be talking to people who don't have that 3, 4, 5 generations ahead of them where they learn things at a young age.
Right.
Bob, you touched on a point that I had brought up actually in a podcast previous to this, that I'm a former owner. And the smaller that location is, the less employees they have, the harder it is to get that person that is willing to let the owner continue to get their light and shine and then bring up that person. There's a balance there. But more importantly, in some of the former owners, they're not doing the third party transfer teams. They're not doing the third party grave selling teams or whatever that situation is. Do you see that?
Definitely. Absolutely. And I will tell you, Danny, this won't surprise either one of you. If you're in a northern state where there's cold weather right now, if you're in a small town, if you're in a smaller firm where you really need someone to be a generalist, and maybe the on-call schedule is just by, hey, we're going to split things. The owner says, hey, that's fair. The employee says, wait a minute, that's every other night, every other weekend? That's hard. Those are the toughest. Those owners face the toughest task in finding, right? If you're in Nashville, Austin, Atlanta, Charlotte, you know, in those places, again, across professions, across verticals, people are moving to those areas anyway. Dallas, Fort Worth area, right? The places that are booming. It's easier to attract restaurant workers, truck drivers, funeral professionals. So the challenge is no different in that regard. What makes it harder there, in a small town, maybe we have some opportunity for you to do some things that in a larger city, if you're more specialized, you don't get to do in terms of developing your own skill set and your experience.
Right. It's
that balance that we're always trying to work toward.
Well, you know, you also touched on something I'm going to elaborate on, and that is that it's always been my belief that one thing that that motivates employees is knowing exactly what's expected of them. And in funeral service, I've observed the really high-level firms, whether that be by default or whether it be by intention, the owners don't leave that to chance. In other words, they do have some, it may be very informal, but they have some training mechanism so people can gauge whether they are doing the job that's expected of them or not. And that seems to provide some motivation in and of itself. So people need to focus on that as well. One question we were going to ask, I think we might have touched on, but I want to just at least address it. Being appreciated, knowing that you're valued, is a main driver for potentially leaving a firm, but it also should be a main driver for staying. If somebody it knows that they're appreciated and they're involved and I'm going to underscore the need, and you use the word flexible, to being flexible with respect to the schedule. So there's a lot of hurry up and wait in funeral service. And so you're real busy and then you're not busy at all. And being allowed to leave the building and go do personal things when you're not busy, I think it can help with that work-life balance. But are there other reasons that a person might decide to stay with their current employer? How do I keep my employees?
Yeah, people, retention is, we always talk about finding the right people is half the battle, retaining them is the other half. Because once you find a good person, you want them to stay. And I hate to put it this way, but we're all, in funeral service, we're in competition for great people. And guess what? Hilton wants to hire great people, and Amazon and Facebook and all the, you know, whoever. And your buddy in the Chamber of Commerce, they want to hire great people too. And I see things all the time online. We look at a lot of recruiter stuff, as you might imagine. It's always, hey, hire the right person with the right potential, the right attitude, enthusiasm, energy. You can train 99% of the job.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a little different situation because you've got to be licensed. And in some states like Indiana where we are, you got to be dual licensed. It doesn't matter if you want to be in a care center or meeting with families, you got to do both. And that's a challenge for some folks, obviously. Even if you get hired at a firm, when they say, how can I retain someone? You don't have to align all of your processes to each individual person. You really can't do that. You've got a chaotic work life, right? But you can ask and find out what are their strengths and then let people do those things where it's possible that play to their strengths and away from their weaknesses. If you've got somebody that doesn't like to embalm and you're a 50-50 funeral director and embalmer, that's probably not somebody that's going to want to stay long term. And that is different than it was when I started back in, you know, after you two were in the business already, probably, you know, 1989 when I started, most employees, I think, just did whatever had to be done and they kept quiet about it and they might have grumbled a little bit, but they just went on. Nowadays, it's just not that way. So offering compensation and benefits, offering that flex time, allowing folks to do simple things like allowing them to switch a day off when they have with another employee.
Right.
We hear that. We hear owners. I've heard of a couple of owners talk to them who said, hey, I called the, I had a guy who just during COVID above and beyond and helped everyone here. And I called his wife to thank her for supporting him while he supported us. And we sent them out to a very nice dinner because we wanted to show them, not just the employee, because that spouse is talking at home every night when you're not home with my family because you're out serving other families. And it's nice for the, that's the way you feel appreciated. When the owner calls my spouse to tell him or her how much they appreciate what I did at work every day.
You know, I want to camp on that for just a second. That's one of those takeaway ideas. My son is an attorney in Missouri, and he is very quiet and reserved, and he doesn't brag. But his boss will call his wife or me to share some things that my son has done. And, you know, of course, I believe that gets back to my son and it motivates him. But, boy, it excites us.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And that positive contribution that they're getting back from family and friends and loved ones, putting something on the radio, putting something in a newspaper ad.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, you literally can't pay for that feeling that that person gets in their heart.
Isn't it interesting how powerful things that don't cost you anything can be?
As you're out trying to get clients paired to the right owner, and owners sometimes are just saying, well, my qualifications are that they have a license and they're breathing. So is training involved or offering training added compensation?
Are you asking if the owner is going to offer training to the candidate as compensation, as part of their compensation?
Yes, that's what I'm
asking. Well, intangible compensation.
Yeah, we do have some people that say that in the first 30 seconds on the phone. Hey, man, I've been looking for 18 months and you're my last, you know, like the call of last resort, right? We get that. And sometimes they'll add, and I need somebody by next Friday, you know. Well, okay. But when they say that, we understand they're frustrated. We talk about what is it realistic that you need? What is this person going to do? Are they going to be is it clinical care? Is it family care? Is it pre-need? Is it management? You know, what is it exactly? And then we kind of break that down. One thing that we will remind owners often is that if you want us to find candidates that are a match for what you're looking for, we really need to know, and that means you really need to know, what is it you're looking for? Not the nice to haves, because the more the better, right? The more skilled, hey, a master's degree and the greatest presenter and the greatest family, that's all great, but that's not a lot of those folks around, right? So, and the other thing is, we've got to find candidates who are willing to come where you are. That's the one thing in funeral service that is different from Amazon or Facebook or a lot of companies where you can be a customer service rep anywhere from your home. In funeral service, you do have to be in the geography for most jobs where that funeral home is. And I can tell you, you guys watch the news too. Recruiting for Buffalo a couple weeks ago was not an easy thing to do when they're moving the Buffalo Bills football game to Detroit. Now think about that, right? Because the snowfall was going to be so bad.
Right.
So it does have to be two parties who are willing to meet in the place where the funeral home is located, typically. Training is part of it, onboarding, and then it's the ongoing development and support. You know, does this person get access to conventions, continuing education? Who is the person that's going to be training them? And is that person bringing some expertise to the table? And it could be some outside, you know, we're sending them to a training seminar or sending them to a convention or something like that.
So we're running out of time. Danny's got one last question, and I'm going to ask you one last question.
All right. Mm-hmm. Along with what we just said, what you just said, Bob, and it ties into everything that we're talking about, what does your perfect client look like?
Ideally, a client who has a clear understanding of what they're looking for, whether it's written or just they can explain it to us, so we write it down, that kind of that job description. And they understand that if you break up a 24-hour day, 8 hours at work, 8 hours sleeping, and 8 hours other, that they respect the fact that that person is going to be doing some other, and they support that. They help us sell that. They've got, obviously, the candidate has to have the skills and the experience that they're looking for, whatever that is, in whatever area. But it's also about, typically, you know, why do people leave? Sometimes it's them. Sometimes it's life happening. Marriage, divorce, births, deaths, you know, family, mom got sick, we need to go back to Kansas City, you know, whatever it is. And an employer who understands that and says, listen, we're going to support you on the way in. We're going to support you while you're here. And then they actually, from people that we talk to or that they can tell us, hey, listen, talk to this guy. He can tell you what it's like here. And they actually demonstrate that support of their employees. That's, and obviously they've got to pay market. They don't have to be the highest paying firm. They don't have to have the best benefits, but they've got to really be competitive in the market that they're in, mm-hmm. in all of those areas.
Right. So my last comment here is, I'm sorry. One last question. Mm-hmm. Start to finish, how long does it normally take?
Boy, that is the $64,000 question. When I started 9.5 years ago doing this, I would say it was on average 3 to 6 months. And what's happened is the bookends have gone both ways. We've, in this year, 2022, we've placed people in as little as 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Funeral home gave us a very clear description on what they were looking for, what they were willing to accept, what they offered, et cetera. And we had somebody in our network that we already knew and said, listen, we think we've got a great match. And it turned out terrific.
Good.
The owner was quick. We didn't wait 2 weeks in between phone calls to schedule the next meeting, you know, that kind of thing. On the other end, we've got some searches that are still open that have been open for months and months, some more than a year.
Yeah.
And again, you might imagine, I mentioned it earlier, those are the places that maybe aren't in the most desirable location,
right,
or they're looking for something very specific that there just aren't a lot of folks that we can contact who have either that skill or that level of experience, or maybe are willing to work for what this job is going to pay in that location, who are looking for that skill level, that experience level, that potential level.
Well, this has been a great introduction. Closing comment, Danny and I don't have a business relationship and are not looking for a business relationship with Global Recruiters. However, I will say that I have had several colleagues use your services, and so far all of them have been pleased. We're going to put in the email for this your contact information, Bob, your phone number, okay, your address, and your email. So if you want to contact Bob Heidlicka to follow through on this anymore, please do so. And Bob, good luck to you, and thank you so much for taking your time. I'm Alan Creedy.
I'm Danny Jefferson.
You can do it.
And we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.